Coco Chanel, the businesswoman who changed fashion for women.
I spent my life making women look and feel beautiful. I started designing hats, moving on to sportswear, and then elegant clothes that were comfortable to wear. I also created the magical perfume Chanel No. 5 that made women feel and smell gorgeous. I was born on the 19th of August, 1883, in a place called Saumur in western France. My parents gave me the first name Gabrielle, but I am known as Coco. My surname was Chanel, and I saw no reason to ever change it, although my birth certificate says Chasnel due to the bad eyesight of the person who filled it in. I was born in a poor house run by Catholic nuns, which, as the name suggests, was a place where people could go to sleep and eat if they had no money and nowhere to stay. My father, Albert, was a travelling salesman who never had any money, and my mother, Jeanne, washed laundry. I was the second of six children, although one of my brothers died when he was just a baby, and we all lived in small, noisy accommodation. We were poor, and life was not easy. One terrible day in 1895, when I was 12 years old, my mother died of a disease called bronchitis. She was 31 years old. My father could not cope with five small children. He sent my two brothers to work on a farm and took me and my sisters, Julia Berta and Antoinette, to a convent in Aubazine in central France. I never saw my father again. We had nowhere else to go and no way of looking after ourselves. Fortunately, the nuns at the convent agreed to let us stay. They were strict, but we survived because of their care. We were given a basic education. In addition, we were taught how to be seamstresses, how to sew and make clothes. I was lucky that I had the chance to be educated and learn a useful trade. The nuns also taught us practical skills like cooking. We were expected to pray and lead a religious life. It was a quiet, private place, and we were protected from the rough life we had been born into. We only saw life outside the convent during school holidays, when we visited relatives who were kind to us. In 1901, when I was 18 years old, I left the convent and went to stay in a Catholic boarding house in the town of Moulins. My first job was in a tailor's shop. It was there that I discovered I had a talent for designing hats. My hats caught the attention of ladies in the town who asked me to make more, and I was able to earn extra money. It was my first step towards financial independence. Then I met a young man called Étienne Balzon. His family were wealthy and he did not need to work, so he spent his life having fun. He had wonderful manners, and with him I learnt how a girl from a poor background could live a life of luxury. He introduced me to literature, music, and good food. It was impossible for a man from his rich background to marry a poor girl like me, but he became a lifelong friend. In 1905, in addition to my work in the tailor shop, I also started singing, working in cafes and late-night bars. Someone said that I should have a stage name, so I chose Coco, and I used it for the 3 years that I sang professionally. I soon realised that I did not have a good enough voice to make any money from singing, but I kept the name Coco. It suited me, and I left the name Gabrielle behind me for many years. I was ashamed of my background, and I never told anyone the truth about how my father had abandoned us. Instead, I made up stories, and I often said that he had gone to America to look for work. In 1908, I moved to Paris, where I continued designing hats. Etienne introduced me to a rich English friend of his. His name was Arthur Capel, but everyone called him Boy, and he was an officer, a captain, in the British Army. We became close, and our friendship lasted for 10 years. In the cafes where we often met, I liked sharing my ideas on designing and making hats with Boy and Etienne. Etienne was always enthusiastic and encouraging about my designs, but Boy was helpful in a more practical way. He decided to invest some of his money in me and my designs, and I was able to set up my own business. In 1910, I opened my first shop at 21 Rue Cambon, Paris, selling the hats I was designing. Although I knew little about marketing, I called the shop Chanel Mode. The hats that I created were worn by famous French actresses who provided me with a great deal of free advertising. Pictures of them wearing my hats appeared in magazines, and as a consequence, more women wanted to buy their own hats from me, and my business grew quickly. It was an exciting time, and the days passed by quickly. In 1913, I opened a shop in Deauville, on the northwest coast of France, also using the money that Boy had lent me. At that time, there were strict rules about the kind of clothes and styles that women could wear. The clothes were beautiful to look at, but they were uncomfortable, long and tight, preventing women from moving freely. I myself had started to dress differently. I shortened the length of my dresses so my ankles showed and started to wear looser, more comfortable clothes. I made most of my clothes myself and used a material called jersey that was soft and simple. Many women asked me where I'd found my dresses, skirts, jackets and tops, and I understood that there was a demand I could not ignore. In the Deauville shop, I introduced a collection of women's sportswear that looked stylish and sophisticated, but was also comfortable and easy to move around in. I felt that I was responsible for changing the way women saw their bodies. I felt like I had started a revolution. The sportswear was an instant success, and I became quite rich. In 1914, the First World War began. It ruined France and the lives of the French people defending it. The fighting against the Germans was fierce, and millions were killed. I concentrated on designing more clothes for women. The relaxed, comfortable appearance of my clothes attracted younger women, and in 1915 I opened my third shop in Biarritz on the southwest coast of France. In addition to my sportswear, I started designing evening dresses. These too were popular, and by the following year I was making so much money that I was able to repay Boy all of the money he had lent me. Sadly, Boy was killed in a car crash in 1918. His death had a terrible effect on me, and I never really recovered from it. In 1921, I introduced my perfume, Chanel No. 5. It was created by a man called Ernest Beau, who had created perfumes for the Russian aristocracy. It was called No. 5 because it was the fifth perfume I had sampled and liked. Over the next few years, I launched several other perfumes, No. 22, Gardenia, Bois des Îles, and Cuir de Russie. But it was No. 5 that by 1929 had become the most popular perfume in the world. It also made a lot of money for me. Many people thought that I should get married, but I didn't want to stop doing what I loved, helping women to look their best. And so I remained single. In fact, I thought it was my responsibility to help women look beautiful and confident. Designing clothes and running the business was exciting. In 1925, I was invited to design stage costumes for the performance of the play Antigone, written by a man called Jean Cocteau. Then one day in 1926, when I was at the opera, I looked round at all the women there and was horrified by what I saw. They were all wearing dresses in very bright colours that I thought were really quite bad taste. I made the decision at that moment that my next designs would be in black. In those days, you only wore black if someone close to you had died or if you were a servant. I was about to change that. Once again, I caused a mini-revolution when I introduced my little black dress, or LBD as it was later known. This was a simple, very sophisticated black dress, which was also comfortable to wear. The LBD is still a fashion must for women. In 1929, I opened another shop. However, the stock market crash of 1929 reduced people's incomes and they stopped buying luxury products like the ones I was selling. It was not a financial disaster for me, but the business took time to recover during the 1930s. In 1931, I was invited to Hollywood to design clothes for the films produced by Samuel Goldwyn. He offered to pay me $1 million if I came to Hollywood twice a year. I accepted his offer, but my designs were not popular because they were too plain and simple. I did not like the whole scene in Hollywood. I left California and spent some more time travelling, looking for inspiration for new ideas, and I displayed my new designs in Paris. The House of Chanel in Rue Cambon became well known, and in 1932 we showed a collection of beautiful diamond jewellery. The number of staff we were employing continued to grow, and by 1935 there were more than 4,000 people working at Chanel. It had become a substantial business, and more of my time was spent organising than designing. My social life consisted of a continual circle of meetings and dinner parties. In 1939, just when we thought the business was secure again, the Second World War began and the Germans invaded. Once more, France was nearly destroyed. Businesses closed, families were torn apart, and lives were ruined. I felt it was time to stop working and I closed the shops, although I continued to live in Paris at the Ritz Hotel. It was a tough and difficult time and nobody knew what was going to happen in the future. In 1945, I went to live in Switzerland. In the beginning, I stopped working, but after a while, I decided that retirement was too boring and I continued working on my designs. In 1953, I returned to Paris and made a dramatic comeback. Once again, I made my home at the Ritz Hotel, which was a very expensive way to live, but I felt secure and happy there. In 1954, when I was 71, I held a fashion show to present my new designs. The French press hated my clothes and thought that at 71 I was ridiculous. However, in America, Life magazine loved what they saw on the catwalk and wrote that I had brought a revolution to the fashion world. My designs were again leading the way. More women were entering business and needed new fashions, and Chanel became a name that stood for quality and elegance. It had become fashionable again for women to wear uncomfortable clothes that required them to have tiny waists. I had always been against artificial silhouettes for women. So I designed a jacket that helped make the Coco Chanel brand name stronger than ever before. My jacket was so successful because its design was very simple. Like the skirt of the suit, it was cut straight, so that it was neither too tight nor too loose, allowing women complete freedom of movement. Every woman in the public eye had a Chanel jacket. In 1957, we won the Neiman Marcus Fashion Award. As I had no family, my work was everything to me. It gave me a purpose in life, as well as fame and fortune. I believe it was what kept me alive. In 1969, a musical was made about my life that starred Katharine Hepburn. And in 1970, aged 87, I launched our number 19 perfume. By the following year, I had lived a full and exciting life, and I died on January the 10th at my home. I had already designed my own gravestone,